Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of the Curzon Film Podcast. I'm Sam Howlett, and for this episode I'll be speaking to two actors from the Royal Shakespeare Company's production of The Twelfth Night, Adrian Edmondson and Cara Toynton, currently on stage at the Swan Theatre in Stratford-upon-Avon and soon to be broadcast live in cinemas on February the 14th. The Twelfth Night is Shakespeare's much-loved romantic comedy where a pair of twins are separated at birth and become mixed up in the complex romantic entanglements of the noble court of Illyria. Cara Toynton, known for her roles in EastEnders, Mr. Selfridge and various West End appearances, plays Olivia, while British comedy legend Adrian Edmondson, he of The Young Ones and Bottom, plays the vain pompous Malvolio. I sat down with the pair and discussed Shakespeare, living like students in Stratford-upon-Avon, watching live theatre in cinemas, and Adrian Edmondson's appearance in Star Wars The Last Jedi. Enjoy.
Okay, so we're delighted to welcome Cara Toynton and Adrian Edmondson to the Curzon Podcast.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us, guys. So we're here to talk about The Twelfth Night, which you performed a few hours ago, and in a few hours are doing it all over again. So I've completely interrupted your only downtime today, so sorry about that. What would you normally be doing between shows? Do you relax and try and just sort of take your mind off things, or do you rehearse? Or?
I'll tell you exactly what I do. I go back to my house, and I lie down on the sofa and sleep to pointless.
I can't talk about that.
It's really nice for wandering in and out of consciousness.
It's really nice. Because really while we're staying in Stratford-upon-Avon, you know, the location-wise to home is across the street, really. So it means that you can pop home, have some food and get a little sleep in. And it's funny, but two show days, it's nice to have a little nap between.
Yeah.
We're a bit like students.
Okay.
And we live in a row of cottages, all the cast.
Yeah.
We live in a row of cottages opposite the theatre.
Oh, brilliant.
It's a bizarre little world for the RSC. Yeah. We don't have an excuse to be late, that's for sure.
So, have either of you performed Shakespeare before?
I have at school.
Okay.
Actually, I did a bit of Macbeth once as well. Yes, not to this kind of level.
Sure, yeah.
And I had to do some pieces for my Lambda exams and sort of speaking festivals and things.
Okay.
So I really enjoyed doing the little monologue, but now this is taking it to the next stage.
A whole new level.
And it's good because I did Twelfth Night at school, actually, so I knew it quite well.
It's cheating, isn't it?
It is a bit, actually. I've always got to come back and do another one just to say I've sort of properly done it.
Does it feel particularly special then, like doing it in Stratford-upon-Avon, in the homeland of Shakespeare?
I think it did at the beginning. Now it feels
lost its novelty,
like what we normally do.
Yeah,
it's like anything. You get used to your prison.
It's very true. It's really, at first, they sort of bring you up on a visiting day and you see the theatre and it's very daunting and scary. But then you sort of get comfortable with it.
Okay.
And weirdly, when you're sitting in the audience, I think it looks bigger than it does from the stage. It becomes quite comfortable.
I think there's no seat further than 20 feet away from the stage, is it? Something like that? It's weird, isn't it?
It's like being in a living
room. It's a very tight house.
Mm. Yeah. So there's a nice sort of ambience and it's very intimate.
And when you first started preparing for the role, was there ever this kind of tension between the fact that, you know, it's so like prestigious, these roles, and so many people have done it before, and on the other hand, bringing your own take to it, your own originality. Like, can you talk
absolutely
about that?
Absolutely terrifying. And and then you have to learn not to be terrified and to remember that it's just some words that someone's written. And it doesn't matter who's written them. He might even have written them himself. You know. So
who knows?
They're just words. They're just a character, and you have to get on with it. And then at other times you're going, ah!
You're going through
the ROC. Oh, God, I can't do it.
You're going through lots of different peaks and troughs. And I think this one, particularly, Ada's hit it on the head. It's a bit of a variety show.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a
light-hearted chorus number of lots of little bitty characters that come in, do their bit, waltz off, come back on, do a song. It's fun.
Here come the lovers, here come the idiots.
Yeah.
Here comes the bloke who does the songs.
It's fascinating because looking into it, we think that Shakespeare wrote this in one day.
Well,
he whipped it together to perform it on the Twelfth Night for Queen Elizabeth, and we think it might have been a lot of the sort of in jokes towards sort of playing to her and the characters within it and within her life. So that's what makes it quite interesting, working that out. And so it wasn't particularly thought out. It was just Twelfth Night, free for all, it's everyone goes for it, and the other title is
or what you will.
I was going to say or what you will, but is it what you will,
what you
or
will,
will? What you will, and so that sort of says it all about what it is.
Okay, and so Malvolio then is this kind of quite sought after role for actors, and with the people that have played him before, Ian Holm, Simon Russell Beale, Patrick Stewart, Derek Jacobi.
Rubbish, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, do you know, before I took the part on, I read the part, didn't read the rest of the play. And then it was late at night, and I was on the internet, and I looked through for old films. So I found, who did I find? Alec Guinness, and I found Richard Briers, and I found, what's that man, the Scottish man? I don't believe it. Him doing
Wilson.
Richard Wilson. So I saw all these people doing it, and I watched them, and I read the thing again, and I watched them, and I read the thing again, and I said, I can do it differently. That's what I decided. Right. That's what made me do it.
And that's a sort of, set yourself a challenge.
Mm. Yeah.
And he does. He does it differently.
Well, it's just a different idea. Just that he's actually properly in love with you.
Yes, you know,
That's the idea.
And I think
that's the only difference, which, you know, nothing really happens to it, but that's, for me, a different approach.
Yeah. And I think that's sometimes the hindrance of doing something that's so well known.
Yeah.
Is that it's daunting trying to do something that's been done really well. So why would you? But if you can do something different with it, then that's exciting. And exciting for the people who have seen it many, many times to sort of have a different take. But obviously that brings with it a lot of people going, oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But of course, you're never going to please everyone with something so sort of iconic.
I was getting changed the other night, and there was a different dresser in. We're getting dressed into the stuff for the bit when Malvolio's stuck in the prison. And so she's getting me into the costume. She said, oh, I used to love it when Anthony Sher did this. He always made me cry.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you very much.
And on you go.
And on you go, son.
No, Adrian's saying that before, on our press night, he thought, oh, I'll have a little flick through
the programme. This is a pictures of people involved, and your part as well, everyone's part.
I know, I chose not to look at that. I don't think I would have gone on.
Denise, looking at pictures of Judi Dench, Diana Rigg.
Oh, God. Oh, horrendous. But anyway, we're halfway through the run.
We worked it out.
And we're really enjoying it and what Chris Luscombe has brought to it. And you have to just go with it and do your best, really.
Cool. It's quite a joyful show to do because you generally get a scene on, then a scene off, don't you?
Yeah, it's
no one's on all the time.
Quite part-time.
So you're
students.
But you get time to kind of think, right, you get set into the new mood of the one you're going to do next.
Yeah, that's very true.
And mine are all quite different because he goes quite a journey, so it's quite fun, that.
Yeah, and I suppose Olivia, she's kind of bonkers, and so throughout, you go off and sort of set yourself and go on and do
state
another weird
to giddy.
Yeah, that's the one. I explained it a lot better.
Yeah. Okay. So on February 14th, then, it's going to be live streamed. Just want both of your like, opinions on how you think this whole live broadcast of theatre has sort of made an impact on the theatre world.
I've no idea. I've never seen one.
Okay.
I wouldn't know what it feels. I mean, I'm aware that it happens, and I'm aware that they're quite popular, aren't they?
Yeah, very popular.
So something must be going right.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen one?
I have once, yeah.
And what's it like?
It's good. I mean, it's perhaps not...
Did you feel like an interloper at a live event?
You do get swept up in it, I think.
Good.
Because I sort of went in thinking this isn't going to be the same as live. And, of course, there's a huge difference, but you do kind of get swept up in...
And you're there with a crowd. Yeah. It's not like watching, something on your telly.
Yeah.
It's a crowd watching a crowd. Yeah. It's almost like Gogglebox.
Yeah, in a way.
And actually, there's slightly less of a crowd in the theatre because they have to make room for the cameras, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be different. Okay. I think it's a...
So laugh loudly. So that we can hear you
from wherever you are. I think it's a great introduction for people who may not have seen any Shakespeare before. Yeah.
For the Shakespeare timid,
yeah. Okay. Sort of, and you can pop to your local cinema instead of trekking to Stratford-upon-Avon.
Yeah,
the tickets are cheaper, and it's lovely that it sort of gets to it sort of puts it out there in a bigger way.
So
I've
on
had quite a lot of mail in my box from people who haven't been to see Shakespeare in the theatre before. Have you heard any of that?
I have actually, which is kind of a great thing because
we dragged them in.
We dragged them in.
We drug them in.
And then they say never again. But I think that's what's great about the RSC and keeping Shakespeare alive is because he wrote for everyone, all classes, all backgrounds, and he would have, I'm sure, he'd shudder in his grave if he thought people were watching his comedies or whatever and not enjoying them.
Sure,
and
laughing.
So it means that it's done here. It's sort of like the creme de la creme of a company.
Yeah.
And you get to do it really well and properly look into it. And so people get to enjoy Shakespeare in a way that they might not.
Okay. And when you are being filmed on February 14th, do you think that will change at all the way you perform it, because
I don't think so, because to be honest, it's filmed every night
of course
by another camera,
right,
and they sometimes record that, so we're always being
Andy, are you kidding me?
No, they use it for the archive.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I feel violated.
Big Brother is always watching.
Watching. Yeah, I suppose, we shouldn't make any difference.
No.
And I, because at first I thought, will we sort of play it down and sort of TV it in that it's smaller, it's bigger on television, and it's complete.
But no, it's not telly, you see.
It's cinema. Big anyway. Yeah. So I think we'll pretty much keep it exactly the same. But we'll have a few rehearsals and, have to wear microphones in our wigs and things. But I think that will be the only difference.
Okay. So
mine isn't a wig.
Really?
No, this is a bald cap.
They do it
with some
well.
Strands of hair on it.
I guess then you both kind of made your names, as it were, on television, in a way. And like Cara, so you've been more prominent in theatre, I suppose, the past decade or so.
Yeah.
Has that been a conscious move for you, moving to theatre, or is that just the way it's happened?
Well, everything I've ever... My career has been a complete kind of...
Accident.
I was searching for my word.
That's the word I always use for mine.
A complete accident, and it's all been trial and error, and try a bit of this and a bit of that. But I worked out that theatre... I really enjoyed, and I felt really good about it. And sometimes when you're filming, you're doing scene 20, scene 6, scene 3, and it all gets a little bit confusing sometimes, whereas in theatre you get to rehearse, you get to feel really good about it, discuss it, make it as good as it can possibly be, and then sort of...
And you go into all of it at once.
Yeah, and you get to do the beginning, middle and end, I really enjoyed that. So, and I think when I've gone back to doing any filming, it's helped so much from a sort of control point of view, breath, and I think theatre just is a great sort of teaching. For sure.
Yeah. And Adrian, same with you then?
Well, I've always done live stuff at the same time as I've done telly, so it doesn't feel very different. I sort of put a stop to doing working with Rick about 14 years ago now. It's not that I never didn't like the stuff we used to do. I just thought there was more to the world.
Yeah, of course.
And that I didn't want to get stuck just doing that and only doing that and, you know, never doing anything else. So I'm up for the adventure.
Okay.
And this is a good adventure.
Yeah, I mean, playing Shakespeare. Sure, and you're currently starring in the biggest selling film of the year.
No.
I didn't know. And I went to see it. And there he pops up in the first scene. And
first
I'm like, what? I thought I was having a day off from it.
Yeah.
but you are the first line, aren't you?
I'm the first
line.
It
was a real shock.
Yeah.
But I loved that film. It was very great.
It's
a real shock to me when I saw it. Because it's so secretive, the whole thing.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're filming.
Really?
If I'd known that was the first line of the movie, I think I'd have shat my pants.
It would have been sort of...
How did you come to be in that? This is Star Wars The Last Jedi, by the way.
Ryan Johnson, the director of it, is a huge fan of Bottom. And when he was a student, before he got the videotapes of it, he got a book of scripts. And as a student, he filmed one of the episodes with two of his mates.
Wow.
So that's how big a geeky fan it was.
Oh,
so,
God.
So he just asked.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I wish I was in something in big direction. What a great way.
Episode 9 is only 2 years away, so you never know.
You never know.
Cara, Adrian, thank you so much for your time.
So The Twelfth Night will be broadcast in cinemas on February the 14th, neatly fitting in with your Valentine's Day plans. Thank you for listening to this special episode. Our regular show is available every Friday as usual. See you then.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.